Tidying is the act of confronting yourself. Cleaning is the act of confronting nature. This time, I'm going to do it. I'm launching a year-end tidying marathon. In Japan, the year-end is traditionally the time to clean the whole house in preparation for the new year. It's like spring cleaning in some other countries. Every December, television programs and magazine articles feature cleaning tips, and cleansers and other goods are prominently displayed in stores. People throw themselves into this year-end cleaning spree as if it were a national event, so that sometimes I think it must be programmed into the Japanese DNA. When it is all over, however, it is amazing how many people say, "I really tidied up at the end of the year, but I didn't manage to finish by New Year's." When I ask them what they did, it becomes clear that almost all of them tidied as they cleaned. In other words, they randomly threw away whatever unnecessary items happened to catch their eye, wiped the floors and walls as they emerged beneath piles of stuff, donated boxes of books, wiped down shelves on which those books had been sitting. Let me be very clear. With this approach, you will spend the rest of your life tidying. It is only natural that such year-end cleaning ends up half done. I will be honest. For years, my family and I used exactly the same approach, and we never once succeeded in making our house spick and span before the new year. The words tidying and cleaning are often used synonymously, but they are two completely different things. If you don't recognize this important truth, then your home will never be truly clean. First, the focus is different. Tidying deals with objects. Cleaning deals with dirt. Both are aimed at making a room look clean, but tidying means moving objects and putting them away, while cleaning means wiping and sweeping away dirt. The responsibility for mess and clutter lies 100% with the individual. Things do not multiply of their own accord, but only if you buy them or receive them from someone else. Clutter accumulates when you fail to return objects to their designated place. If a room becomes cluttered before you know it, it is entirely your own doing. In other words, tidying up means confronting yourself. In contrast, dirt does accumulate of its own accord. It is a law of nature that dust and dirt pile up. Therefore, cleaning means confronting nature. Cleaning must be done regularly to remove naturally accumulated dirt. This is precisely why Japan's year-end event is not called a tidying spree, but rather a cleaning spree. If you want to succeed at year-end cleaning, the secret is to finish your tidying marathon beforehand. In my previous book, I explained that a tidying marathon means completing the process of discarding thoroughly and quickly and deciding where to store everything that you have chosen to keep. You only need to do this once. If you make up your mind and just get it done, you'll be able to truly concentrate on year-end cleaning. More often than not, people who think that they are not good at cleaning actually don't know how to tidy. My clients who have finished tidying up frequently say that cleaning now takes them no time at all. In fact, they like doing it, whereas before, it made them feel totally incompetent. Cleaning the temple is part of Buddhist training, but tidying the temple is not. With cleaning, we can let our minds empty while our hands keep moving, but tidying requires us to think about what to discard, what to keep, and where to put it. You could say that tidying orders the mind, while cleaning purifies it. If you want to clean your house for the new year, then start with a tidying marathon. No matter how hard you try, your house will never be truly clean if you don't finish tidying first. If you don't know what brings you joy, start with things close to your heart. I feel, joy. I think I feel joy. I feel something between joy and no joy. At her first lesson, my client sits frozen before a mountain of clothing. A white t-shirt is clutched in her hand, and a garbage bag lies ready to one side. She puts the t-shirt back on the pile and picks up the gray cardigan beside it. After staring at it for 10 seconds, she slowly raises her eyes. "I don't know what joy feels like," she says finally. As you know by now, the key to my approach is to keep only those things that spark joy and to discard the rest. Does it spark joy when you touch it? While some people find this criterion easy to grasp, many wonder what it actually means, and my clients are no exception. When that happens, I give them this exercise. Pick the top three items in this pile that give you joy. You have 3 minutes to decide. In the case described above, my client paused for a moment to think. The top three, she muttered. Then she rummaged through the pile, pulled out 5 items, and spread them in a row. After rearranging them several times, she returned 2 of them to the pile and, just when her time was up, announced firmly, "These are the top 3, from right to left." Before her lay a white dress with a green flower print, a beige mohair sweater, and a blue-flowered skirt. "That's it," I told her. "That's joy." I was quite serious. The best way to identify what does or doesn't bring you joy is to compare.